Okay. Is everybody back?
Everybody's back.
Yes.
All right. Well, welcome tonight. We're very excited. This is Joan Ranquetz, Communication with All Life University's Animal Education Teleseminar Series. And for tonight's call, we have Carol Commodore. And based on her years of experience in working with world-class trainers, veterinarians, animal shelters, private clients, and through extensive studies, Carol Commodore founded the curriculum for the multi-level energy medicine program known as Healing Touch for Animals. So we're super excited to have her on the call tonight. And just so everyone knows, if you'd like to mute, please hit star 6, and you can hit star 6 to unmute at the end of the call. Welcome, Carol, and thanks, Joan, for having these calls.
Thank you. Hi, Carol. Thank you for coming. This is so great because I think these two worlds merging are about as good as it gets.
Thank you, Joan. I appreciate you inviting me on your call.
Well, I would love to, you know, a lot of people on these calls are coming to animal communication or healing touch later in life, and so it's always fun to start out with how did you get started and what did you do before that brought you spinning into this amazing world you've created?
Well, I think that every road leads to home. You know, my dad taught me that if when I first started driving, he said, if you get lost, every road leads to home. Well, I think that that happened to me in my career as well. I started during college with a job at a veterinary office and became a veterinary technician and ran the business for my doctor and actually worked and ran his satellite clinic and then would go to the central hospital where they had the bigger equipment and the higher staff for the more critical patients, and I would assist with only his patients. So I saw myself kind of like a nurse practitioner in the veterinary realm with this doctor. And so I did everything from running lab work to assisting in surgery, which is something that I absolutely love to do. So the medical realm was wonderful. I love the aspects of the professionalism and the big hearts of those that were caring for the animals. And then seeing the animals in their everyday lives and helping them was like a huge joy for me. And so I did that for a long time, 13 years actually. And then I retired to have my children. And as I came back into getting my kids off to school, I needed something to do, and so I entered massage school. And in the massage school, I chose my school because it had this energy medicine modality called Healing Touch, and the founder of Healing Touch was the instructor, and her name is Janet Menken. So I loved that work. It integrated well in my massage therapy, and I found that I had a knack for it, and I had an understanding for the energy work and had this excitement about what the energy work did for people in their lives as they pursued their healing process. So with that, I decided to become an instructor in the Human Healing Touch program. So I'm one of the senior instructors in Healing Touch, and working with Healing Touch program has given me an opportunity to meet more of the other realm of professionals, so nurses and other massage therapists and people who are wanting to have a healing practice and to be able to teach them the value of and the how-tos of working with energy medicine. So I combine the two careers that I love so much of as a veterinary technician and as a Healing Touch instructor to bring together my understanding of the animals with Healing Touch for Animals. And that I launched my first workshop in 1996. And And that came about because people were asking, calling the Healing Touch organization and asking, how do I do Healing Touch on my animals? And my cat runs away when I do this work, and I don't understand. And so they were sending me the animal questions, and so I realized there was a need.
That's great.
What I thought would be a class that I would teach in Denver a couple times a year turned out to be a little bit more than that.
Yeah, it's amazing what you've done with it.
Yeah.
So with the Healing Touch for Animals and your work, what are some of the beginning stages of what you do? So you get an animal in front of you, are you trying to calm them down? What are some of the things that you can do with the work that you, with Healing
Touch
Practitioners?
Well, the animals that come to our Healing Touch practitioners, Healing Touch for Animals practitioners, myself included, are animals who are oftentimes have behavioral issues. Sometimes they have health issues such as cancer or a disease process that they're going through. They may be recovering from an accident or an injury such as a hip that needs to be replaced, or they may have something like diabetes, or they just may be coming to the practitioners as a well-being to help enhance the animal-human bond. So there's a variety of different things. I've done everything from assisting a surgical procedure that did a permanent prosthetic in back legs for a dog for the first time ever. I've had horses that have had major injuries and where the veterinarians gave little or poor prognosis for those animals, and they have been able to heal themselves with the balancing and the correctness of the energy system that helped provide the physiological response to help the body heal itself. So there's a variety of things that come to us as a practitioner of Healing Touch for Animals. It's never the same, so it's always an adventure, that's for sure. Did I lose you? Hello?
I hit mute, sorry.
Okay.
I was asking my next question.
Okay.
Sorry about that. So what are some of the physiological responses that you see right off the bat that makes you know that you are affecting the animal?
Well, the very first one is relaxation, and it's amazing to me, even as many animals as I have worked on in my career, that you get this hyper little dog that is going all over the place and like a ping pong ball reflecting against the wall. It's amazing to me that they settle and they start to understand what we're doing. And when you're working with the energy system, it's they have an innate sense about it already because that's what they do instinctually. They work with their energy to be able to monitor their surroundings and what's going on with them and what's going on with their humans and what's going on with the other animals in their pack or their herd. And the relaxation is what comes in first of all. They settle and they allow you to provide the energy modality of bringing that energy into their bodies to help them in their health and well-being.
And when you I'm sure you have, but I would love to hear about any sort of things where you've really changed the blood work, or you've had, you know, kind of the medical community has gotten behind what you've done.
Well, we haven't gotten to any formal research yet. However, there are people who are documenting like crazy, so myself included. But we're seeing where animals are making a difference, that there is an increase of recovery time for surgical procedures. There's behavioral changes within one treatment oftentimes. There are injuries that were not healing that all of a sudden started healing after a treatment. And so it's like making a change and creating the, I like this, a stage of healing. And so this stage gives you this huge opportunity of, and room to allow the healing process to come into play. And when you see the relaxation response, what happens then is that it kicks off a totally like domino effect of how the body functions on a physiological level. So it, first of all, releases endorphins, like all relaxation does, and it helps the muscles to settle down. It helps them to become pliable and soft, and the muscles to release the tension in them. And then it brings in the oxygen that is needed for the body to maintain supple muscle tissue rather than taut and restricted. And so it brings in that oxygen. It carries in, and that the circulation comes in, and it helps with carrying the oxygen cells to the body. It helps with providing the nutrients and the enzymes that are needed for digestion and bringing in the appropriate nutrients to the body where they are needed as well. It helps to bring in the hormonal responses of the body that is correct, and it absolutely helps to flush toxins out, which help hold in disease and illness. And then it helps to build with new cells that are healthy and viable for health and well-being. But what it mostly does is it regulates the immune system, and I've seen where animals who are having trouble with disease process such as cancer, that their immune system increases to where it's able to bring the animal's body into a place of fighting those cancer cells and alleviating them. And even if that's not in their life plan of life with a cancer diagnosis, then what I see our work does is that it provides the very best in well-being for the...
Sorry. So you were saying that you've seen the disease, the blood, the cells... Hello?
Hello.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
So you... So it definitely, you've seen, I mean, the reason I'm asking is I know that, like, Healing Touch for Humans has gotten into hospitals, which I think is so
right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you had any inroads on starting to document, like, the cells and the immune system response and the relaxation and the endorphins and things like that.
Well, we don't have formal research yet, but that is coming, and I'm hoping that we can get some viable research projects off and running in the near future. But I know that several of our veterinarians have been in our classes and working with their patients. I have several of them that are working with the techniques that we work. They work with the essential oils and the tuning forks that we train with. And so they're bringing in the whole concept of healing touch for animals into their holistic practices. And I know that several of them are also training their technicians so that they might be able to provide healing touch for animals during a procedure or when the veterinarian isn't able to actually do the work themselves because of other tasks that they have at hand. So I see where we are integrating into the holistic veterinary realm. I have spoken at their conference several years ago, and I know that they are totally aware of what Healing Touch for Animals is and see the validity and how it helps them in maintaining and building their practices too, because they're able to offer an additional viable service to their patients.
I would think it'd be so helpful around surgeries.
Yeah.
You know?
We have one specific technique that really helps in the animal come out of the anesthetic much quicker and much more alert than what is typically done without the work itself, because we're able to clear the energy system and work with the energy for balancing and bringing that animal back into a normal homeostasis.
Now, with the...
Quite fun.
With the behavioral things, what sort of, can you give us some examples of some really amazing shifts with the work?
One of the most outstanding piece that I saw, and this was years ago, and it's still one of my favorite stories, is with a coonhound that... their family lived right next to a forest service, or a forest, and so they would go on their walks, and if this coonhound would get a whiff of something, he would take off like nothing, and he would be gone for days and days and days, and he was a tripod dog. He had been hit by a car, and he had been hit by a car when he went on one of these rampages, and so I did a treatment with him and let him know what his specific job was, and let him know that he was to stay with his family and to be with them while they went on their walk and to enjoy their walk. And he had, after that one treatment, had never left them again. And so I just thought that was an amazing thing that happened.
That is
and we
amazing.
Did, and the reason that that happened was because of the balance and the understanding of what was going on. And so we use our communication in addition to the energy work, and it assists with creating that balance and an understanding of what we're trying to communicate.
Can you tell me more about that? What the balance that you create?
Sure. Well, we use work with the heart chakra. So I work with the chakra system of the body in healing touch for animals. And so by balancing the energy centers of the body, we're able to provide that instinctual field that they have with a greater awareness, with stability, with a balance that goes throughout their entire body and works with their physical body and their emotional body and the mental aspect of who they are and their stress levels, and then it connects them to their instinctual spiritual selves at a greater level through balance. And when we're working with behavioral issues, we work with the heart and the throat chakras, and the heart chakra because that is where they work from all the time. So that unconditional love that they hold for those of us who are humanoid, and then those who are animals, and we work with that unconditional love that they hold just on a normal level as far as animal kingdom is concerned. And then we work with the throat chakra, which represents the true expression. So inappropriate behavior is not true expression. And when you work with those two together in the technique that we provide in our HTA work, it gives the animal a sense of purpose, and it gives them a sense of understanding at a greater level. And so we work with the little script that we provide and bring them into an understanding of what is that their current behavior is not appropriate, and then identify a job description for them with the owner. And then through the balance, we provide the stability and strength that they need in order to make change without it being scary, because usually it's a fear factor or something that has happened to the animal that has created that lack of understanding of what is supposed to be done. Or perhaps they're just very ungrounded, and so the that as well. So it's pretty interesting, and as far as each case is different. Each script is typically different than the other, although we have steps that we go by. And the changes typically made very easily with the balancing that's created.
Do you need to then work on the person?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes people don't realize the negative responses that they're talking to the animals with. And so, like with your communication, you can't use the negatives.
Right.
And so you use the positive words, and you use the outcome that you're desiring rather than what you don't want.
Right. And I think, and people don't, I mean, it's just unconscious.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, well, I catch myself doing it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just how we were raised, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And how society is, because if you listen to the newscasters even, it's I picked up something this morning on the news that I thought, oh, she could have worded that a little differently.
Yeah, it is amazing how much we inform the outcome with these little thoughts. So do you, when you're working with a client, with an animal and the person, do you let the person in on the script?
Usually I talk to them ahead of time, and of course I love for them to listen. I typically, because of the steps that we take and the directness of the technique, I typically don't let them engage in multi-people conversations, but it is discussed, and then they are, their job after the treatment is to reinforce that, and so we have them reinforce whatever we do within the treatment, but absolutely I love them to hear what's going on. And even when we work with distance treatments, we sometimes, we're not talking directly with the person while we're doing the treatment. We talk to them afterwards, and we reinforce afterwards with what we have agreed to. So it's not always necessary if there's something that needs to come up with the person and they need to interject. Of course, we let them come in.
And do you, when you do a distance healing, how does that go?
The way that I work distance treatment is that I connect with the person ahead of time in regards to themselves or to the animal that I'm working with, and we make a combined effort of what our intention is for that session, and then the way that I work with it is that I hang up and I do the treatment and then call them back when I've completed the treatment time. I typically don't like to have a lot of conversation in a distance treatment unless the person insists on being on the phone while I'm doing the work. So I can concentrate more on the energetics of the animal's energy system, of clearing and balancing and strengthening and really creating a stability within that energy system. So it's a partial talk ahead of time and then talking afterwards and letting them know what techniques that I worked with and what I experienced energetically with the animal as I was doing the treatment. So it's a nice follow-up afterwards.
I've always found that I do an energetic technique called the scalar wave, and I've always found that once I've worked on an animal once, there's almost like this, even if I've never met the animal in person, there's like this little neural pathway that gets created that it's like, I can just get right into the energy system.
Yeah.
And I can always tell once I'm in there if they've had other types of energy work just because the opening, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's great. I just re-looked at a video that I have that was a NOVA publication on, it's called called The Elegant Universe, and it talks about string theory, and it's very much the same as the scalar wave where you, where everything is connected to everything else, and there are no disconnects unless there's illness or injuries there. So I love that.
Yeah, I love that. So how many people would you say then, you started out by yourself training, and then how many people have come through your program at this point?
I think we had a count last year of about 4,000.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and they haven't all completed the whole program, but a good share of them have, and so it's been a lovely journey since 1996. And we've just are revamping all of our workbooks and on their final edits, and that too is amazing because I had someone recently come into one of our workshops with one of the first books that I had of maybe 15 pages, and we turned each workbook level into 120 or 150 pages. So
wow.
Things have changed a little bit over the years.
That's great.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the levels then of the program for people that might be interested in the program?
Oh, sure. We have, we actually have four levels that enable people to go through our certification program. So levels 1 through 4 are build on each other, and we go from beginning level, but just because it's a beginning level, we have two techniques in there. In the level one that are I use on almost a daily basis because of the high frequency and high response that they provide for our animals. And so, but level one, we start out with a great foundation of different techniques that can be used for many different things. And then we go into level two, which helps to enhance our intake assessment skills. It helps with, we have techniques for back injuries and back problems. We work with trauma release in level two and grounding and focusing technique that is amazing. In level three, we also, in level two, we work with tuning forks that help to clear the energy system. And so we introduce our first set of tuning forks there. In level three, we work with distance healing and give five different applications for distance healing. We work with techniques that help to enhance the chi in the body, and we work with the frequencies of the energy centers or chakras. We work with the essential oils. We introduce the essential oils in level three. So those level three, it really takes people into more advanced work. And then level four, we enhance our awareness of the essential oils and continue that. We work with the energy system of the Hara in several different ways. The Hara is a plumb line that runs through the body. For those of you who do not know what that is, it runs through the animals and humans, and so we work with the Hara and help to repair and stabilize that energy system if it's in disrepair. We work with tuning forks that are that work with the tone of Om, and how we work with those is through sound and through vibration. And so we work with three tuning forks that are arranged around the Om sound. So we have a lot in store, and all of those levels 1 through 4, they help bring you to certification. So we have a criteria for a certification program that helps us with showing our qualified practitioners and give them a certification qualification at the end of that criteria. And then a year and a half ago, I introduced another level called Advanced Proficiency, and that takes us into a whole different realm of our healing work. And it's very exciting to me. because it. I had a student tell me just this last weekend that when she took advanced proficiency, it was like going from floor 2 to floor 6 or 8 in the healing ability that the techniques provide. So that was pretty fun for me to hear.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love all the things, all the combinations of things you're doing. And so with the, how much of the tuning fork work do you, how much sound therapy do you do?
Well, with the sound therapy, we work in level 2 with a pair, what we call pair fives. It's the fifth pair of a series of forks that are used for humans that are 12 pairs, actually. And so the fifth pair works with the heart chakra. And so we work with that fifth pair in order to clear the energy system and to help release congestion. Help the pair five helps to relax the animals. It helps to bring out the congestion, as I said. And then in level 4, we work with the three tuning forks that are calibrated to the ohm frequency, and then to the interval of the fifth, above and below ohm. And the fifth interval in music helps to bring in and break up congestion in the energy body, which is quite interesting to me. So it allows congestion to surface, it breaks it up, and then it smooths it out as you continue the work to create the balance. And so we use sound therapy and then vibrational therapy, which is using the ohm tuner directly on the body itself. Otherwise, we're using the sound therapy through the ears and the auditory system. So, yeah. And we also, in sound therapy, offer, I work with a woman, a sound therapist named Arden Wilkin, who designed the tuning forks. She also is a composer, and she's able to read the energy. And so we have collaborated and brought music together in three different volumes of music, and all of them are calibrated to the intervals of the fifth to help with sound therapy and really bring healing into a place of making change. So we have the CDs that are available as well, and it's a lovely way to work with massage therapy or working with your communication or through our Healing Touch for Animals techniques and treatment times. So I use sound a lot, Joan, and love it.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been even just a little... I have been using sound. I don't clear with, I haven't used sage in probably 15, 20 years. I've been using, to clear my house, I use sound.
Yeah, neat.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I used to do a lot of toning before I got into even knowing what a tuning fork was.
Yeah.
I thought it was something for a piano, and I used to use my own voice, and I love that. And when I do that for the animals, it's so much fun. They just love it when you tone.
Yeah, my horses have been fortunate enough to have a... There's actually an acupuncturist there in Denver that brought over tuning forks and...
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Neat.
So do you work a lot with the holistic vets?
I have several that work with us, yes, and take the classes, and I get referrals from different ones, yes. So I would like it to be more. I'd love to be teaching in the veterinary schools, and at one point that's one of my goals.
That's great. I love the whole, you've created quite a wonderful world for the animals.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really, it's amazing to me that I get to go to work every day and do something I love so much. So.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
And with, I guess in a few minutes here I want to open up the floor and let people, I know there's lots of questions with everyone, but do you have any, another couple, like little, maybe another behavioral story? I love these stories.
Well, let's see. I didn't realize I was going to do stories. I would have
I know. I
more.
Always get caught off guard when I'm on like an interview. Like, oh, yeah, I have a story every day.
Well, I was teaching a workshop in Philadelphia last year, and we had a little, we were teaching at a doggy daycare, but they also held a rescue. Part of the facility was a rescue, and they had brought in this little terrier that was relinquished from an adoptive parents that couldn't handle this dog, and he was like all over the place, and they mentioned him to me, so I went back into the back room, and this dog was probably a 20-pound dog, and he was jumping from floor level to the 5-foot top of the cage, and so that's how grounded he was. He was like a pogo stick bouncing up and down, and so the trainer said, we can't handle him. He has an attention span of about 2 seconds, and they had been working with him for about 6 weeks, and he still remained to be this ungrounded, unfocused animal. And so I thought, well, we have level 3 people here. We're going to work with this dog, and they will see a real scenario, perhaps. And I didn't give them any hope of that I would be able to change anything, or I let them know sometimes it doesn't work. And so I started doing the work with the bridging technique, which is the one that I mentioned earlier with the behavioral issues. And the dog started to settle, and he was unfocused. I could hardly keep my hands on him for the first few seconds. And within a minute and a half, he was sitting down and paying attention. And his trainer, who was sitting across from me, was totally amazed and started to cry because she had been working with this dog for 6 weeks. And so we talked to him about his behavior, about it being inappropriate, and identified a new job for him, and I can't remember what the new job was, but the dog made changes, and the reports the weeks after were that the dog continued to improve, and he is now a therapy dog.
Oh, that's
and,
so great.
Yeah, so that to me is the reason that I do this work, and to bring an animal who is so distraught and doesn't know what to do with themselves, and to bring them into a place where they understand and they have purpose is really something that I love. It feeds me, I guess.
Yeah.
And keeps me going.
That's really, that brought little tears to my eyes. Oh, that's really amazing. Well, I would love to, I know that Shannon will be the first one to jump in with a question, so I'm just going to let Shannon ask your question first.
Okay. Okay, Joan.
Okay. Hi, Carol. It's Shannon.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, how are you? I'm really excited. Do you know Tina DeVoe?
Tina is one of my buddies. She actually has gone through all 4 levels of our HTA program.
Oh, and good. That's where I'm going to be taking a class with in March.
Oh, great. She's a healing touch instructor. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Good.
Yeah, I think she said, are you doing something in North Carolina?
I am. Yeah, in Raleigh.
When is that?
And I don't know the dates for sure, but you can check out my website.
Okay. And what is your website?
My website is healingtouchforanimals.com.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? I think I've seen that on the bottom of her emails to me.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, she's one of practitioners, yeah.
Now, how long ago did you create the Healing Touch for Animals?
Healing Touch for Animals was launched in 1996. And,
wow.
I taught 3 classes that year, and then it just has accelerated since then. So it took me a little over a year to develop the program and to get all the nuances and bring the energy. I don't, whenever a new technique comes in or something like that, I always make sure that it's tried and true before I teach it to anyone. And in fact, I'm leaving Thursday to work at a ranch in Calgary, Alberta, with this new technique that I have for advanced proficiency. So I'm very excited about that. And yeah, it's always a progression, and it continues to unfold as it's supposed to.
Now, to do the healing touch for animals, it's recommended that people take you need to take level one for humans, correct?
Well, that's a required.
That's correct. Press one. If you want to enter a different access code.
Okay.
I forgot what I was saying.
I was asking about level one for humans. It's a requirement, right? Yeah.
It's only a requirement for certification. It is not required that you take level one in order to take the animal workshop.
Because
we have on Friday, and level one on Friday night, we have an introduction to healing touch. And so it brings everybody up to speed so that we can work on the animals on the following 2 days.
Saturday, you're saying something about that. Now, if I do take this class, though, then I don't need the Friday. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. That's what she was explaining. Okay.
Right.
Wonderful.
So you must be in Florida?
Yes, I'm in Florida. I'm probably about an hour and a half south of her on the East Coast.
Oh, good.
So.
Yes, her area is so beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, thank you so much.
Does anyone else have a question?
Joan?
Yes?
Yeah, I would love to ask a question.
Okay, so Jane, Carol.
Hi, yeah, Jane. Hi. This is very exciting to me.
That's really great.
Oh my goodness! And you know, I so run across animals who have behavioral or something going on where they're very unhappy. And there's one horse at the barn where I keep mine that I so want to help because he's so unhappy. And how would you recommend me go about this? Maybe take the level one first, or?
Yeah, the technique that I spoke about with the bridging is taught in level one.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know where you are, Jane, in the world, but we have practitioners all over the country, and so if you're wanting someone, you can give our office a call. We can help you find somebody until then,
just
come and take a class.
I so want to. I mean, goodness sake.
Where are you?
I'm in Bellevue, Washington, so I'm near Joan and you know.
Well, I know that Wanda Buckner is on the phone, and she's our coordinator in that area. And so I know we have level one coming up soon in that area.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you can check out our website at healingtouchforanimals.com.
I certainly will. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Joan, I really I want to acknowledge you, Joan, too, because you're giving our people a special when they come to your classes, aren't you? From Healing Touch for Animals. So I really want to acknowledge that, and I appreciate that so much because I feel like animal communication is a great enhancement for our work, as our work is great for the animal communication too. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's very. Yeah. I think it's very important. And in my program, people are required to do electives, and so this is like the perfect elective, I think.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, I love the networking and the camaraderie.
Yeah.
I appreciate it so much.
Me too.
Yeah.
Carol, this is Pam Parker. A person take level one with no massage background?
Yes, absolutely. We don't have any kind of requirements whatsoever, just a desire to help animals. Okay. So, there are no requirements. My background is a massage therapist, but it's not about massage at all.
Yeah, actually, I had sent out the schedule about a month and a half ago, but I will make sure Wanda and I get the schedule. I've sent it out in December to everyone, the Healing
Touch
schedule.
Okay, thank you.
But we'll make sure that, I know I send out a lot of emails, but Wanda and I will connect and make sure that everyone has that.
Okay, great. Great.
Any other questions?
I have another one.
Okay.
Okay. Who is this?
This is Jane.
Okay.
Again.
Okay.
I'm curious, how often do you find a behavioral issue in an animal having to do with the caregiver, guardian, owner, and having to work with a person at the same time while you're working with the animal so that they
understand?
Yeah,
that's like a loaded question, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we all run into this because with the, even I know you do with your communication clients as well. But we have to, sometimes it's like Joan and I talked about earlier, the negativity of how people present things and how we are innately trained as kids to talk like that, and we hear that all the time.
We tend to even dwell on the negative rather than the positive.
We do.
Yeah, and so we perpetuate the negative.
And so oftentimes it's just a languaging. And so I try to say within our, and I bring it into the context of the technique of our bridging technique when we have a behavioral issue that I know is caused by the continued negativity of the animal's owner.
Okay.
And so I say, let's see if we can just change the wording a little bit and do it this way and see how the animal will respond to you differently. And so so I always bring it into how we can help the animal, not you are doing this badly.
Exactly.
So we have to be careful of our communication with the owner as well so that they understand
that,
oh, my gosh, I didn't realize I was saying that.
Yeah,
that, that I am helping this animal repeat its behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and sometimes it's just bringing it to their awareness.
Right,
of,
right.
Of
usually they're just totally excited that they have a difference, a different way of presenting things.
Yeah.
So I haven't found that it's too big of a problem, but I know that there are words that are being said that are keeping an animal in a behavioral response that is not what it should be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we give you tools in our level one class to help with that.
Okay.
And we talk a lot about that too in the classes here because it's if we put the person off, you're not going to help the animal.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yeah.
So blaming the person is like not even an option. It's got to be.
No. And that's a negative response too, is blame. So, so we have to be good communicators all the way around.
Right.
Carol, could I ask another question? This is Pam.
Sure.
Does healing touch compare at all to T-touch? Are they totally different modalities?
They are different. T-touch works with bringing calming points on the body. They work with, and I don't think they call it this, but when they work with their little circle responses in different acupuncture points of the body, or they're called nadis, are the place where acupuncturists place the needles. And I feel like that they bring these into these points and these circles, and it works with stimulation and calming for the animals. With us, we work with our chakra system. So we work with the seven main chakras and the energy system that surrounds the body and internalizes the body and helps bring that to balance. So they're different modalities. They each help the animals with positive responses, but they are different. So Linda Tellington Jones was like the pioneer of alternative and holistic healthcare. So I have to give her great big kudos for that.
Yeah, that's another amazing whole system.
Yeah. Did that answer your question, Jan?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Any other questions out there?
Great question so far.
100.
Well, still line up.
Okay, what else?
I've been doing a little bit of Reiki.
Yeah.
On the animals. Uh-huh. What do you see in that, working with the animals?
Well, I'm a Reiki master. And,
oh, okay. I'm working
so
on it.
So I have worked with that. What I find with Reiki people generally is that they push the energy too much with the animals, and the animals resist. That's not always the case, but sometimes they resist. So we really emphasize, when you're working with any kind of energy medicine with the animals, remembering that their energy system is huge in comparison to ours,
because that
creates the instinctual field. And when we work with pushing the energy, it pushes the animal away, because they already know that we're inside their field. They know, they can read our energy much better than we can read theirs.
Right.
And so when you allow the energy to flow through your hands according to what's needed, through your intention, then the animal is much more receptive.
Oh.
So that's the difference that I see with Reiki people doing work with the animals, is that they are a little too forceful. And we as humans need a little more force in our energy system to give it a kickstart.
Exactly.
And with the animals, they don't need that, because they work with energy 24/7.
And they're much more aware of their bodies than humans are of their bodies, in most cases, I found.
Well, that's the instinctual field that's providing that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good
question.
That's really well put. I've never been able... I can define why I don't go to Reiki for myself, but I could never figure out why it never moved me either, you know, to want to have my animals ever. Yeah, I mean, partly because I've been teaching Scalar Wave also since, like, 1996, but, you know, I just never... That's really a great way of saying it. I could never
define it. Well, one thing that is, maybe I should just talk a little bit about the differences of our fields as humans and as animals. The animal's energy field is 10 times greater than that of a human. And we as humans need to have our containment in order to keep us grounded, in order to keep us focused, in order to keep our intellectual selves from being so scattered that we can't contain ourselves. And so we are supposed to be the way we are. The animals, however, have to monitor whether or not they are safe, and so they expand their energy system 10 times greater. They have what I call radar receptors on the edge of their energy field that's 10 times greater than ours. And those radar receptors monitor what's going on outside of them and inside of them. And on the outside, they are noticing, is there a predator out here? Do I have to be mindful of someone attacking me and eating me for their dinner? Or can I be safe here in my environment that I'm in at this time? And so that instinctual field helps them to understand energy on a whole different level than what we do as humans. And so as we work with this, the energy system itself, with the animals, they are much more receptive of what we do in the techniques that we provide with Healing Touch for Animals. So that's why that little dog that I talked about settled so quickly when he had a 2-second attention span. Because he recognized, oh, this person understands that I know that they understand that I have an instinctual field, or that this they're working with energy, which is what I'm all about. Mm-hmm. And so when we force energy in doing our work, when we place our hands and say, I want to heal this problem that is occurring, then that's a forceful intent rather than allowing the body to heal itself and allowing the energy to come into the body according to what's needed at that particular moment.
Wow.
So being forceful with any kind of healing work is not appropriate unless there is a life and death situation.
It's
wow.
like the difference between, say, an old school chiropractor and a cranial sacral worker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, a cranial sacral
yeah.
is really allowing the bones to go back to their original spot.
Correct. Correct. And yet, I just was at the chiropractor today, and I loved what he did to my body.
Right.
So.
I go tomorrow.
Yeah. And my body loves cranial sacral, too. So
it's
like finding all the things that we need to help with our health and well-being.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
That's a great analogy, though, Joan.
Yeah, sometimes, I don't know. And I see trainers even, you know, horse trainers or dog trainers that come at it with too much force, and it's...
Yeah.
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 And of course, you know, there's occasions when I walk in the door with too much force and I just admit to everyone, okay, I'm creating damage now.
Yeah, I call it a bulldozer.
Yeah.
Or a bowling team.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this has been really, really great. Does anyone else have a question? I'm amazed that everyone's been so quiet because usually I can just feel... the contemplation.
It has been totally amazing, the explanation of the whole energy field, the way you word everything. Wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really fun. I am looking to do extra research on that as well, and so I hope that one of these days we get that part of it also in scientific stability. So,
You know, I just wanted to mention something when you were talking about animals recognizing energy. And I've noticed my horse react differently to different horses and riders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I feel energy about a certain person, you know, I feel it. And I know my horse does too, and so I'll make a comment like, well, she read his energy and was afraid of it. Perhaps it was something that she was familiar with in her earlier days. Am I making sense?
Yes, you are, and that's true because we hold energy memory like we hold muscle memory.
Yeah, and I made a comment that, oh, she doesn't like his energy, which is exactly what I felt my horse say.
And that's probably a true statement because the animals do read people by their energy.
Yeah.
And I have a funny story about that. Well, not so funny, maybe. But I had a cat several years ago, and he was a dog kitty, so he'd meet and greet everybody that came to the door. And when I had a repairman coming into the house, and as soon as that gentleman walked into the house, that cat did a backwards walk, like the big equipment goes beep, 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 beep. Actually backed up. I'd never seen it before. And I made sure that there was someone else in the house while that repairman was there because that cat told me to be careful.
Yes.
Just like our dogs do and like our horses do.
Yeah.
And so they totally understand the energy of what's going on with the person. And that's why I feel like some animals are able to pick up cancer. They're able to help with emotional issues and help with our autistic children and our Alzheimer's patients and because they're able to read the energy and help them to balance their bodies.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how they've
So our therapy dogs do a whole lot more than what we think they do. They're not just great, gentle dogs. They are actually doing something for the people that they work with.
Yeah.
And Wanda has a great therapy dog and a retired one that is amazing as well. And so she can probably tell you more about that as you get to know Wanda.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else have any questions, comments, observations?
I'm excited to take the class.
Good.
Yeah,
super.
I'm really interested in learning
what. If you have any questions, you can give the office a call, check out the website, and we'll be happy to help you. And I totally appreciate you, Joan, and your endorsement of my program as I endorse yours.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it's a wonderful combination.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And, well, I want to make sure everybody has the website again.
The website is healingtouchforanimals.com, and it's all one word, a great big long website. So healingtouchforanimals.com.
Thank you.
Yeah, really great. And I so appreciate having you on this call, and I look forward to more combined adventures.
Say ditto to that. Thank you so much, Joan, for your support, and I totally had a great time tonight with sharing this work that I love so much.
Yeah, well, the world is lucky that you're in it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And as you, too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks, Joan.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you so much, Joan.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much, ladies.
Bye.